Anyway, Tim's going to share something. And I'll fill in after, whatever you don't say. I don't want to say anything else, because I might be stealing something he's saying, and he's not as prepared, so
consider it. What's fascinating about South American culture is, especially in the preachers' ministry teams, is that they work and work and work and blow up. And they're worse than Americans when it comes to working hard. They really do. They just go and go and go and don't stop. And what's cool about this place where we're working is that, I was actually teasing about the American thing. You guys work really hard, but anyway, it's like a lead balloon. Just but this place is, the guy that owns it, that's part of his ministry, he had God kind of slap him around and say, you need to stop and rest and take time to be still, know that I'm God, hear from me. And that's what they're turning this place into, is a like a retreat for ministers who are working tirelessly down there, bringing the gospel and bringing the kingdom, so that they can come, rest, be rejuvenated, hear from God, and go back out where they're working with God instead of working for God. And that's where the effect and the impact comes. So it was a privilege for us to go there and help. That building that we were sitting on, we just did construction there. We were laying bricks and helping them get the walls together so they can put a roof on it, and then it'll get stuccoed and it'll be like the other buildings that are there so they can house more people. But the people there are just awesome. They're really, I don't know what even the word is. They're super humble, super hospitable, super gracious, super loving. And they took us in. They hosted us brilliantly. The food was unbelievable, fresh fruits and all the goodies. They really treated us like kings. And on Sunday we went and preached. This is cool. Okay, I'll tell you a little fun thing about this. We went and we preached. I preached at the first church. Cameron preached at the second church. And there was a lady that, when I was preaching, you could just see she was like shining. I was like, wow, something going on there. Afterwards, she comes up with an interpreter and she said, I had a dream about you. And I'm like, oh, okay. And she said, in my dream, I couldn't understand what you were saying. You were talking to me, but it didn't make sense. I was like, yeah, that's fairly common. That happens in English as well. And there was another person who gave a testimony before I preached. And what she said really impacted this lady. And then what I said kind of capped it off. And she said, you know, like, you were supposed to be here. I dreamed of it. And now you were here with an interpreter so I could understand what you said. And it brought her a bunch of freedom and whatever. And it's kind of cool. It's like, well, if I hadn't have gone, would she have had that dream? I don't know. Maybe she wouldn't have. Or maybe she would have had that dream and she just, it never would have been fulfilled. But it was fun for me to know, okay, cool. Like, that's an indicator that what we're doing is lining up. God intended it, and then we're on the walk. So, yeah. So it was fun. So thank you guys so much for sending me. It was a blast.
Yeah, we had a blast. We left here at 5 in the morning on Monday, a couple Mondays ago, and we got there at noon or 1 or something Tuesday with the time difference. Anyway, it was like 29 hours or something, 28 hours we traveled for. We had a 6-hour layover at airport in Mexico City, and we got like an hour nap. And they were like, all right, block work. So, like, okay. So we started after, and then we walked into this building, and the building that you saw. And before that was pretty much the end. That was like pretty much the last day or second to the last day. And that you saw kind of the arches. That's what we built. It was all flat before, and then we built those things. And I've mixed concrete. I've done some like little brick yard brick stuff. I've done lots of things, but I've never laid blocks before. And so we walk in, and there's the general contractor guy who's doesn't speak any English, and then our interpreter there, Russell, was there with us. For those of you that don't know Russell, and so the guy's talking, and Russell's interpreting. He says, "Can you do block work?" And I look around, and I'm like, "Yeah." So okay, and so then we kind of winged it and figured it out, but we had a blast. And there's a couple times that It's funny that that culture, like Tim was saying, that just goes after it. Just work. If there's work to be done, you just work until you either pass out or it's coffee time. And so, which is kind of like the, well, we're really tired. Okay, take an hour nap. It's like, we've been traveling for a day and a half. We're really tired. But then that, I think it was the first night. It might have been the second night. We're still pretty, you know, trying to catch up. And it was 2 hours earlier. Is that right? 2 hours later? I can't remember. 2 hours different. And, yeah, so we were getting up at 4 a.m. So that means it was earlier. So we were getting up at 4 a.m. our time, 6 their time. And, we were like totally exhausted after doing all this work and stuff. And dinner happens. And then it's after dinner. I think both and Tim, you know, like when you get to the end of the day and you just kind of shut down and then you can't turn back on again. It was just like, oh, no, we had already planned that, you know, 15 minutes from bed. You're kind of like, all right, you let go. We kind of did that let go. And then they're like, hey, we're going to have some worship and testimony time. And we're like, oh, no. And it was too late. We were both kind of like trying to hold on. But just met some amazing people, amazing team. They came with us, some of them from Florida, some Colombians, and then Tim and I just had a blast. And then also just Tim's was a blast to travel with, some reasons intentionally and some unintentionally. But he got stopped every time we went through any kind of inspection or immigration or customs or anything. Just take him away. And me, I was like invisible. I'm like, we came into Colombia. If you've ever been into a foreign country, they always want to know the address of where you're going. And we didn't have an address. We had a city, and that was it. And so we come into Bogota, and Vieta is where we're going. And I get to the immigration thing, and they're like, where are you going? And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, you need to know where you're going. Oh, okay. We're going to a town called Vieta. I don't know where that is. And he's like, how do you not know where it is? And our friend's picking us up and we're here just to help out on this farm thing. And he's like, okay, great. Go ahead. Stamps my passport. Of course, Tim gets sucked into the naughty boy room. And, so I go walking out and I get our bags and stuff. And I'm like, all right, let's go. Where's Tim? Where is Tim? And I don't know. It took a while. And finally I had to hike back in there and rescue him. And then, anyway, we made it, and it was a blast. And so we'll probably finish that video because it really is quite good and showing kind of where we were, what we did and where we're doing and the people and just how much fun we had. But we'll get it to you another time. But I wanted to share a little bit about what I feel like God's preparing us in connection with this trip, but in also in other trips and things that are on my heart to do kind of where and why and how. To prepare for this kind of ministry. I feel like the Lord's connecting us with people. And while we were there, I mean, every day without fail, 3 or 4 times, when are you coming back? And then we have people from different places that are like, well, when are you coming to where we are? When are you going to come to? And what I realized, maybe I just was a refresher to me that there's so much help needed. There's so much going on. And there's so many amazing people that are running after the calling that God has on their life all over the world that are completely alone. Or maybe there's just a small family group. And Carlos, Pastor Carlos, who is the guy that we went there to serve, we connected to through Russell Black, who's a friend of mine in Florida. I know it doesn't matter that much, but that's the connection. It's just like Tim was saying, he's been running after something. He's been there, a pastor, for like 45 years or something. Is that right, Tim? Do you remember? 45? Something like that. And, he's had like 2 heart attacks. And I mean, the guy falls asleep standing up. He's like, and so much so that we were kind of like, you know, is he okay? And I gave him a bunch of my, protein bars that I had. I'm like, you need to eat these when you walk. You know, he walks everywhere. And, but just an amazing guy. And just fell in love with his heart for what God's doing and the town and the whole thing. And But what we realize, what I realized even more, or was reminded of, like I said, is that there's amazing people running after what God's called them to do all over the world. And not just in different countries, but in our own country, in the U.S., you know, that are going after things. And they could use people that have a little bit of time, have a little bit of money, that have a little bit of whatever to help. And so I know some of you guys know, I've been on kind of this journey of looking for things like that. We got stirred up about a little over a year and a half ago when we went to Hawaii and actually worked with YWAM and did that. And then we were in Mexico and, you know, served Leo and Sandra on their house and helped them with their house and worship leaders in the mission field. And so it was just stirred up fresh in me again. And I wanted to share a little bit from the story, this parable that Jesus tells in Luke 30, 37. Very familiar story. You guys all know the story. But it's a story of the Good Samaritan. And I want to pull some just things. I feel like there's a million opportunities in our life. There's a million things that come by us. And I feel like that's not going to decrease. It's actually going to increase. And how we are able to interact with the opportunities that we're given. We are not called to take every opportunity to do everything that comes because there's just not enough hours in the day. But there is a preparation of our hearts and of our lives and of our minds and the way we see the world, the way we interact, and both logistically in our lives and in our hearts too, to prepare us for some opportunities that I believe God's giving us, both individually and as a church. And so I want to grab a hold of some of those things out of this story. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase it for you. I encourage you to read this story, but we all kind of know this story. The basic story is that there's a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho on this road. And the road, actually, if you study this path, was known as the Way of Blood. So it was actually a place that's pretty familiar. Jesus is telling this parable. Whether it was a true story, probably is some form of a true story. But people would have recognized that this was a place that was common to get robbed. When we were in Africa, it was pretty normal to not travel at night. And so you'd always leave in the morning just in case there was a flat tire or anything like that, because you don't want to be anywhere at night. So it's pretty normal even still to understand that there's stuff out there that burglars and muggings and that kind of thing. And so anyway, Jesus is telling the story and the man's traveling and sure enough, he gets attacked by robbers and they beat him and take his clothes and rob him. And then it goes through the series of people that come upon him that don't help him. There's a priest and there's a Levite and they basically just pass him on the other side of the road. But then as the story goes, a Samaritan shows up who we know as the Good Samaritan, who actually takes this guy in, takes the time, picks him up, bandages his wounds, and then takes him to a nearby inn and basically instructs the innkeeper to take care of him and to put it on a tab, and then next time he comes through town, he'll pay the tab for everything that he needs. And then basically in this parable, he asks him who was the neighbor. And of course, everybody understands that the neighbor is the one that helps. But I want to point out, first of all, that Jesus, in asking who the neighbor was, wants us to put ourselves in the position of a person that was beaten and robbed and needing help. And oftentimes that's really the first place we got to grab a hold of, is that of compassion and understanding. To put ourselves in this place of out of our own comfort zone. You know, we've taken groups, all the years I was youth pastors and even the years I've been here, we've taken groups to Rancho de Sus Niños in Mexico, and where we go from in one city block, we go from one of the wealthiest countries and even one of the wealthiest places in the world to a third world environment where is really one of the most poorest places, just in a matter of really a couple city blocks over the border. And I always, for one of the reasons being that exposing kids to something other than different than their norm, something different than what is normal to them. Because the first thing we have to realize is that there's people out there that aren't us, that don't get to see the world the way we see it. We're obviously thinking and talking, and even as Daniel shared this morning about freedom. And freedom is one of the things we just, something that we have all the time, we just generally take it for granted. And so it's good for us to be reminded how amazing freedom is. And some of the things that we just think, oh, that's the way it is actually that way because of the country, the community, the place that you get to live. And so, you know, this trip to Colombia, but also, you know, next week on Tuesday, 4th of July, we're taking a group of 16 of us to Mexico, going back to Mexico again. And so, you know, getting to experience is kind of that first start. And what Jesus asked this group of people is that if you were in that place, if you needed, right, if you needed what he needed, you're beaten up, you're robbed, you got nothing, and you're on the side of the road, who's your neighbor? Who's the neighbor? Who's the neighbor that you want? And right, of course, everybody goes, I want a neighbor that'll help me. And then basically, Jesus' point is, okay, be that neighbor. Be that neighbor. And what I'm challenging you to do is, how do we prepare ourselves to be that neighbor? How do we prepare ourselves to be the one, because it, to be the one that stops, to be the one that turns, to be the one that takes time, to be the one that takes money, to be the one that invests in helping people. So, are you with me? Okay. I believe that who we are is not decided in within an opportunity, but it's revealed. What I mean by that is, by the time you're passing someone on the side of the road, if we take the Good Samaritan, he was the guy that helps people on the side of the road before he ever had the opportunity to do so. So it wasn't that he decided in that moment, even though there was, of course, a decision that was made. But the decision had already been made that he was going to be that person. He was going to be that type of person that stops and helps people. And this was just an opportunity that revealed what was in his heart. Does that make sense? And so what I'm talking about for all of us is not look for the first opportunity to help somebody. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm inviting you into is to actually look at your heart, look at your mind, and look at your life, and decide who you want to be, because opportunities will come. And when they come, who you've decided to be will be revealed. Does that make sense? All right, you with me? Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And the point being is that we are actually prepared to help people, we were created to help people, and we should be prepared to do so. We were actually put on the earth to do good works. We were put on the earth to connect and to create community, to help, to save, to invest in each other. That it's actually part of what we were created to do. So anything that is contrary to that is actually contrary to the nature that we were created to live. The environment that we were created to invest in. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. So we're going to go over just five things. Pretty quickly, actually. Five things. And what I'm kind of going to call these is positions of the heart. And they're how I'm trying to keep my heart positioned. And how I'm going to encourage us to begin to just think through and position our hearts so that when opportunities come, we'll be ready. And I can't stress enough that every opportunity is not a God opportunity. We can't all do everything. We can't all be everywhere. We can't help everybody that needs help. We can't. And this is not that. But when God calls us to do something, when God puts us in the right place at the right time, we do want to be the right person. We do want to manifest the nature of God and the heart of God towards his people and not miss opportunities because we are too busy or because we are in a hurry or because we have prejudices or we have all different things that stop us. So I want to just go over these five things, quick things, just kind of positions of our heart. The first one is be willing to get involved. And I know this is a real simple, a simple thing to say, but nothing ever changes if nothing ever changes. You know, if you take this story again, and I imagine the people that have walked on this road, if we could just imagine it's not the first time that they've walked there, that there's a process, right? We have a thing that we do, a plan. For instance, let's say you've got a plan to go to Reading, to do some shopping, to do your thing, whatever you got to do. Maybe you're going to sneak a movie in, or go to In-N-Out Burger or whatever. And then you're going to be back by 4 o'clock because I got this or that and whatever. And we have a plan. And when something comes into our life that isn't part of our plan, there's a moment that we have a choice. There's a moment, and we will weigh that by how much it's going to inconvenience us and how much. But if we're never willing to change our plan, we're going to miss some opportunities, right? So be willing to get involved. We have to step out. And the question really is there room in our life, in our schedule, in our timetable, for helping? And I know we're all busy. I know we all fill up the same hours every day, right? We all have 24. And you weigh out how much you need to sleep and how much you need to work and how much you need to eat and how much you need to spend time with your family and your kids, your spouses, your whoever. And then we kind of fill in the lines, fill in the calendar. And I just want to encourage you that it might be a good idea to actually pencil in time. I don't mean like at 2 o'clock next Tuesday, I'm going to help somebody. I don't mean that. Even though maybe that's the way it works with you and God, that'd be awesome. Like, God, this is when I'm available. He'll probably bring someone into your life every hour except for that one. That's the way God works. He's like, why are we going to change that? But to actually get it in your heart and mind that I'm actually going to be available when God brings opportunities my way. And it's so important, and I'm going to keep saying this, that it's not just opportunities, but it's God's opportunities. It's not just every time somebody, I got to run, right? Because then you end up getting run ragged. You end up, it doesn't work that way, and you have nothing left, which is not where anybody wants to be, not where God needs you to be. But it's preparing yourself for the God opportunities, the opportunities that are like, oh, this is the Lord, and I need to do this. And so I encourage you to ask yourself, is there time in my life and my schedule and my mind and my heart to be helpful? That if I see an opportunity that I believe is God, is there time in my world to take out of everything else I'm doing and to invest in someone to help? So the second thing is, am I accepting of others? Which can take a whole bunch of shapes and forms. But the fact is that we're a diverse place. If you just take, wherever. People have different backgrounds, different races and social standings, ages. But the fact is that most of the people, actually, no, I'll say it this way. The fact is that everyone you help, everyone you have the opportunity to help, will be different than you. So are you willing to get over it? Are you willing to get over that people are different from you? That it's pretty easy to see that if that was me, I wouldn't have got stuck in that situation. Right? The other people maybe could have just as easily leaned over and said, see, I told you, you should have carried it. You know, that's why I carry a big stick when I walk on this road, so the robbers can't get me, you know. You should have paid more attention, or you shouldn't have walked in here at night, or you shouldn't, right? And we do that. I just want to encourage you to look at your heart and say, am I willing to get over it? Am I willing to get over my judgments of how they got to where they are? Why they need help? Right? And I'm preaching to the choir right now because I'm a planning person. Even like when we were in Colombia, I'm like, there's so many times I'm like, man, we're doing this the wrong way. You know, I'd go back 10 years and do everything different, you know. And we actually, one of the things that we had talked to Carlos about, because he's super generous, this man, and he wants to help everybody. And so, unfortunately, people, especially believers, take advantage of that. And so we're trying to encourage him to, like, it's okay. And he's also from a third world nation. And so, which is just, the culture itself is stricken with poverty, a poverty mindset, not just. And so anyway, I was trying to just encourage him that, like, you have an amazing thing here, like offering people work, offering people an experience, offering people the opportunity to minister to people and pour into people and love people and travel to a beautiful place. And so we were trying to get him to kind of think through actually charging people. And what he's charging people, he has kind of this rate of $10 a night. And you couldn't really see where we're staying, but it's beautiful. There's a swimming pool, and it's just, you're looking at them, and it's like beautiful. I mean, we're staying in like a dorm style thing, but it's still, it's a beautiful place. And $10 a night. And now we're talking mostly nationals, so not people from the U.S. So, and they'll talk him down and talk him down and talk him down to like $3. And it's like, no, man, so we're just trying to encourage him. And we actually weren't going to pay because we had a different deal. And before we left, I ended up going, okay, I put money in his hand. I said, this is $10 a night for Tim and I. Everybody pays. Everybody pays. And he was like, okay, everybody pays. And he was like trying to be encouraged, you know. It's like, it's okay. Like, you're doing something great. But he's giving of the very, it's the selling your seed instead of selling the bread, you know, giving away the seed you need to plant, to grind and grow and make bread. Instead, give away the bread. It's okay. But you got to keep seed enough to plant for next year. And I'm so trying to teach him that. But I have to fight this too, of like, I wouldn't do it that way. I wouldn't do it this way, or I wouldn't. And you have to make this decision anytime you enter into helping somebody, that can you get over yourself? Can you get over your opinions? Can you get over your prejudices? Can you get over your own hurts and your own judgments? We all have prejudices, and the only question is, how much are you going to let them influence your ability to help people? How much are we going to let it steer what happens in a situation or an opportunity to help somebody? Make sense? You with me? All right. Number three is financial responsibility. And this is kind of, there's two parts to this, but and I separated them intentionally. Hopefully it makes sense why. But basically, is there room in your finances to give? Is there room? Are you consciously creating room in your finances? I want to really be sensitive, because we all have a different, all of our books look different. All of our checkbooks look different. All of our bank accounts look different. And this has nothing to do with amounts, And that's a mindset we need to break, because if you can save $5 a month that you are grabbing hold of to help people, then that's perfect. Exactly what I'm talking about. If you can save $500, that's perfect. Exactly what I'm talking about. So we're talking about mindsets, not actual amounts of money. We're talking about, am I creating room in my finances? Am I building a structure physically in my finances that leaves room for me to help people? At least room for me to, if I can't go, I can send other people. If I can't, and we look back at the story, we cannot, now this guy could have all the good Samaritan could have all the good intentions in the world, but he still had to pay for this guy's health care. He still had to have he was a fiscally responsible person enough to actually have money to actually pay for this guy and pay for his health and pay for him to be healthy. It wasn't, he didn't stop and say, hey, we need to do this together and ask someone else to sacrifice. And he was like, no, I'm called to do this. I'm the one helping. I'm going to pay for it. And so we can't, it's not the most important thing, but it is a thing. It is a thing that we grab a hold of and make room in our finances, make room in our checkbooks, in our bank accounts, and whatever you can grab a hold of. Like I said, it's not an amount that matters. It's a heart. And then be excited about whatever that is. Really, if it's $5 a month, be excited about that. Like $5 a month, God's going to, because you guys, God grabs a hold of heart conditions, not amounts. He's not limited by amounts, but he is limited by our willingness. He's not limited by how much money we have, but he is limited by how we limit him, by how willing we are to partner with him. We can say no, and he respects our no, which is absolutely amazing to me, but he does. And he'll go and move on and find somebody else. And so we can limit his access to people through our decisions, but our limits as far as financially don't limit him. Does that make sense? You guys, is that clear? I don't want anybody to leave here feeling like, oh, I don't have enough money to help. I don't have enough to, because it's not, that's a lie. And I don't want you to leave here believing a lie. Does that make sense? Okay. The second thing, the fourth thing is trustworthiness, reputation. The Samaritan had a good reputation to be trusted by the innkeeper to run a tab. Now, this is a kind of an interesting one, but favor, you know, it says that Jesus grew in favor with God and with man. Favor is the currency of the world and of the kingdom. Favor is something that is more valuable than anything else. It's this currency that you can pull on. Now, we were with Russell, who's a friend of mine, who, because we have been friends, we've been friends for about 7 years now. We've done a lot of things together. We've invested in each other's lives. I have a lot of favor with him. And so he was able to, you know, trust me with basically anything. And I'm able to trust him. And we're able to go to a place that, you know, Tim's asking me questions as we're driving to San Francisco. And I'm like, I don't know. Where are we going? I don't know. What are we going to do? I really don't know. All right, perfect. Right? And we get there, and some of it was like kind of like we expected, and, you know, some of it wasn't. And, you know, Tim being wonderful and flexible, it worked perfectly. But, you know, that's me extending the favor, because I've traveled with, you know, we've built favor. And we build favor with the Lord. When he calls and we answer, and when he calls, we answer, and when he calls, we answer. And the more we answer and the more we're faithful, the more our favor with him grows. And he starts us with small things and works us to bigger things. And so it's something that we can't overlook, the favor that we build with God and with man, being trustworthy. And that when we run into an opportunity, we should have favor behind us. What have you done to prepare for the opportunity that you didn't know was coming? Right? Can any of us, I'd say this, like, how many of us have I'm trying to think of a story that works, but you have people in your life that when you call them and you need them to do something, if it's at all possible, they do it. They show up. Even no matter how inconvenient, no matter how whatever. Why? Because you have favor with them. Now this guy, we don't know if they had any relationship with this innkeeper. We don't know if the Samaritan had. We don't know. But we do know that he didn't have the money on him. That he didn't hand him a bag of gold and say, when this is gone, then you can let him go. He said, actually, I don't have the money, but I'll take care of it. You can trust me. And for whatever reason, there was favor and the innkeeper trusted him. We don't know why. But that favor is important. And one of the things, talking about Russell again, it's because I've been a while back, we had a friend that was in Florida, actually the mother of a friend that got was involved in a hit and run on a bicycle. And she was up in Fort Lauderdale, which is about 2 hours drive from Russell. And her kids hadn't flown in. They live in England. They're friends of ours, and they weren't there yet. And the mom was there. And so I got this email that said, do you know, actually through another friend that said, I think Cameron knows somebody in Florida. And so I got this phone call and said, hey, do you know anybody in the Fort Lauderdale area? I said, yes, I do. And so I called Russell and I said, hey, I need you. I need you and Carrie to drive up to Fort Lauderdale, which is through Miami. It's like not convenient. It's not on the road. It's not down the street. It'd be like, you know, driving through San Francisco. And then plus all the distance. I said, I need you to drive up to Fort Lauderdale. There's a hospital up there. Friend of a friend's mom is in critical condition. I need you to go up and pray for her and just be there until they show up. He said, no problem. Jump in the car right now. Drove up. So it was like a 6-hour, 7-hour ordeal. And they ended up meeting the family, praying with the whole family. When they got there, they stayed there and basically gave them everything that they needed just because I said, this is what I need. That's favor. And he knows I'd do the same thing for him and vice versa. And we have a lot of, you know, you have a lot of people in your lives, but that's not something that I just randomly pick a name out of the phone book in Florida and say, hey, I need you. I'm like, what? And they hang up, right? And I feel like there's a big deal on this favor thing that God will use the people that you have in your life. God will bring someone to you that needs what you have. And a huge quantity or a huge value that you have is favor with whoever it is that you have favor with. I was recently involved in, many of you guys probably heard, some people passed away in the mountains 2 weeks ago. So I was a little bit involved in that, and the young woman that was flown out of the mountains flew to Reading, and everybody was kind of like, the family was here, she was awake, but there was nobody there for her. And I said, oh, I know people in Reading. So I made a phone call, and about 20 minutes later, someone was sitting in her hotel room praying with her and waited until the family came. And it's favor. It wasn't just my family, even though there's favor there, but it was somebody that we know through the school and the course and all that. And it was just favor. And it just so happened that I got brought into there because of another relationship that had favor. Somebody was asked, do you know a pastor? Yep, we know a pastor. So I got a phone call on my birthday, actually. And when you get a phone call from someone who is pulling on favor, you say, yep, I'll be there. Give me 15 minutes, I'll be there. Not what I wanted to do on my birthday, but it doesn't really matter. So favor. Continue to develop favor with man, but also with God. Where do you develop favor with God? You listen in obedience, in your prayer closet, in your worship time, in relationship. Your favor grows with God. And both are so important for helping. All right, the fifth and last one. Is a little bit different from the financial responsibility one, and then that is it's generosity. And it's kind of the combination of a lot of these things but it's not just money. Oftentimes money is the easiest thing to give. You know, especially our culture, oftentimes we want to give money to a problem, and as we have all experienced, money does actually sometimes makes it worse. What some people need is some counsel or some direction or some just some time spent or some community or some. I mean, there's a whole list of what people need, and oftentimes we want to put money towards it. That's why I separated these things out. Is that we need to be generous with all of the things we've talked about. We need to be generous. Time is so valuable. It's the only thing you can't make more of, right? And so, you know, oh, I've got somebody waiting for me, and trust me, I understand all that. And so, are we prepared? Do we have a generous heart? Are we preparing our hearts to be generous with all the resource, even with our favor? You know, there's actually sometimes when people ask you for things that you don't give. You know, go all back to the verse that talks about throwing pearls to swine. And so we actually have to discern whether or not this is the right place to give. Is this the right place? Am I actually helping him? You know, as a church, we get asked for money daily, sometimes multiple times a day. People, I can't pay this bill. I can't do this thing. I need this. I need that or whatever. And sometimes we give and sometimes we don't. And sometimes we are able to and sometimes we're not. And we have to use discernment, but we're always generous. So being generous doesn't mean we always write a check, or we always. So sometimes it's like, actually, we're not going to write a check. We're going to encourage you to come in, and so we can talk about how we're going to actually help you fix the problem, not just pay the bill. Or because even though we pay your bill, the problem will still be there. And that's what we want to do. We actually want to help you. So we have all of that stuff, but generosity is never put down. We always err on the side of being generous. And it's such an important thing in helping and preparing your heart to be helpful is really sitting with the Lord and saying, am I prepared? Am I generous? I expect more opportunities for all of us, really, in all of these ways, both personally as we're, as we're just going and living life and doing our thing, that I'm hoping that both in myself and in you guys, that just this message and this idea kind of opens our eyes just a little bit more, that you turn a little bit more to the left and the right, and that you see and grab a hold of opportunities to help people that come along. But I do feel like there's a lot more opportunities going to be coming the way to our church. And I know we have a whole bunch of different ways to interact with those opportunities. And sometimes it's writing a check. And sometimes it's buying a plane ticket. And sometimes it's, you know, gathering your tools together and getting on that plane and going somewhere. Sometimes it's getting in your car and driving somewhere. But I feel like there's a lot more opportunities that are coming our way. And I want us to be ready. I want us to be prepared. And sometimes some of us will go and sometimes others will go. Sometimes you'll be the one funding and sometimes you'll be the one being funded. But we're called to be helpers. We're called to pour into the world. And now Mountain Chapel has an investment in Villeta, Colombia, which most of you guys will probably never go there. But you have a deposit there now. You have a ministry there now. And we're hoping to get pictures of this building when it's done. But everybody that stays in there gets a little bit of what you guys deposited in South America. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing, amazing legacy that we build. And there's going to be a lot more of that just kind of coming our way over the next years. And so, be prepared. Are you guys prepared for that? Does it sound like fun? It sound good? And so I just encourage you to pray into it and prepare and just get ready for what God's doing. I read a quote on Facebook this morning from Lindsay Coyle. If you know Lindsay, she's a friend of ours that is a revival pastor at Bethel. And she said this quote that I'm like, oh, that's awesome. She said, if serving is beneath you, then leading is beyond you. And, it's true. Like we have to prepare our hearts that people, opportunities help is really important. It's right up there close to God's heart, and we need to be ready. When God opportunities come, we got to be ready. So will you guys stand with me? I had to, like any message I prepare, I end up teaching myself as much as I end up teaching you guys. And you know, it's feeding me and getting me ready for things. And there's obviously times whenever you go into admission stuff that kind of like I was saying, I wouldn't do that way. Or I know there was a couple times Tim and I both were like, we are too tired to do this. And I just remember that night. I'm like, I know we're too tired, but just hang in there and we'll fight. You know, you did the one eye thing. Like, oh my gosh, I haven't been this tired in a long time. And so doing things, and then we, you know, mixing concrete. I had a little bit of a bad attitude that, you know, but I've mixed lots and lots and lots of concrete in my days on the ground, what we call Mexico style, but it's everywhere. And so we were like, I was watching this come together going, oh, we're mixing concrete. And my first thought was, I didn't fly all the way to Colombia to mix concrete. I'm like, that's a bad attitude. Guess what I'm doing? Mixing concrete. And, it's not something that I'm not working on. You know, it's something that we're all working on, like how we address the world, because the world is in need and God wants to reach them through helping. And we're an amazing, blessed, what we're celebrating, our independence, our freedom. We're an amazing, blessed community and a nation, state. We have so many resources. And just, I mean, the main thing we were doing was block work and mixing. We had to mix the mortar and then concrete and just getting shovels. I mean, one of the shovels was ground down to like this thick, you know, it's like they've been using it so long. It's like we just, something we take for granted, to like go to the store and buy a shovel. It's like, well, you know, and so I'm thinking, man, I'm going to send you guys some shovels, but anyway, so yeah, preparing our hearts, being ready. And then it's not something that I'm just teaching us, but I'm also learning and in the process of grabbing hold of to be ready for what God's doing. And so if that's you, and I'm just going to pray for us. Just put your hand on your heart and just to kind of really, we're just giving God permission, saying, God, just continue to get me ready. Holy Spirit, continue to speak to us. So, Lord, we come before you just humbly and excited that you have prepared us for good works, that you created us to do good things. And I pray, first of all, just to soften our hearts towards the world, soften our hearts towards the people that are on the side of the road, you know, just like in this story, beaten and they really have nothing to offer us back, but Lord, just to soften our hearts towards the world, soften our hearts towards those in need. Speak to us, you know, that still small whisper of the Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts. Turn our heads to the left and right just a little bit farther, that we don't miss the opportunities that you are putting in front of us. And then I just pray that you'd just prepare our own lives in the natural, both our finances, our schedules, the timing of things in our lives. You just prepare us. Opportunities bring opportunities and prepare us to take them, to grab a hold, to be helpful. Not just to give to everyone who we think is in need or a handout in every hand, but to actually help those that you have called us and given us an opportunity to help. I pray that you would free us to be helpful. I pray that we grow in favor with you, Lord, and with the people in our lives. We would spend that favor on the people that you love. pour favor out on us so we can pour favor out on them. That we can share that favor with the world. And make us a generous people. Make us a generous people. Give us a generous heart. Give us a generous mind. Give us a generous culture. We thank you, Lord, that you are so good to us and that you take such good care of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.